نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scatter from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of us affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the fire. Tonight's talk is the fitna of the women. قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 59, O you who believe, I command you to obey Allah, and I command you to obey the Messenger and those in authority from amongst yourselves, referring to the leaders and the people of knowledge.
Can you turn off the speaker?
He said, can we turn up the speaker? O you who believe, I command you to obey Allah and obey His Messenger, and I command you to obey the Messenger and those in authority from amongst yourselves, referring to the leaders and the people of knowledge. And if you differ in anything, then take it back to Allah and the Messenger. Back to Allah, back to His Book, and back to the Messenger, back to Him directly during His life, and to that which has been authentically reported on Him after His death. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you believe in Allah and the last day, that's better as a final decision. We quote this ayah from Surah An-Nisa, verse number 59, often times to show this is our methodology, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. To quote from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the statements and positions of our Salaf al-Salih, from amongst the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'u Tabi'een and the Ulama of this deen, contrary to what most of the people think. As we are aware of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He says in Surah Al-Furqan, verses 43 and 44, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرُهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ إِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, do you see the one who has taken his desires as his God? Will you be a guardian over him? Meaning, do you see the one who lets the way he feels, whether he's happy or angry, what he likes and dislikes, that he lets that be the verdict upon which he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon? Allah, He says, do you think that most of them listen and understand? And he's referring to the disbelievers in particular and whoever follows their way. Rather, they are just like animals. Rather, they are more astray. Meaning they are more astray than animals, because at least the animal, when you talk to him, he doesn't know what you're talking about. If you start quoting the Quran and the Sunnah to a horse, he didn't know what you're talking about. But at least if you pull him by the reins and guide him this way or that way, he'll still be guided. But the disbeliever, he listens to the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he disbelieves in Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And he turns away from obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the way of the people who are disbelievers, or the people who follow their own desires, that they make their classes and khutbas and they make their lessons and their books based on their own desires, and this is not our way, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And really the people should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into thinking. Every time we have to deal with a community issue, that is something personal. Or that the imam is angry at somebody, so he does a lecture on somebody. Wallahi, we use this mic, walhamdulillah, to quote Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the statements of the ulama, and whatever issue we have to deal with. Rather, these are the statements of the cowards, the people who don't want to practice Islam properly, so they make statements in order to chase the Muslims away from his book and from the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with their statements, somebody's too hard, or somebody's mad at somebody, or the lecture is against somebody, or why isn't the person fair, or what have you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the way of our Salaf al-Salih. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, اتبعوا ولا تبتبعوا فقد كفيتم. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, follow and don't invent, you have been given enough. Meaning follow the way of the Quran and the Sunnah and the Sahab and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in and the scholars of this deen, and don't invent bid'ah in this deen, that which has no basis in the Kitab or in the Sunnah or from the way of our Salaf al-Salih. And Abu al-Aliya, from amongst the Tabi'in who died 90 Hijra, he said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْأَمْرِ الْأَوَّلِ الَّذِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَتَفَرَّقُوا. Abu al-Aliya, rahimahullah, he said, I advise you to hold on to the first way things were before the people divided. Meaning before the people left adherence to the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the Sahaba of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiallahu anhu. Imam al-Awza'i rahimahullah, died 156 Hijra, he says, اصبر نفسك على السنة وقف حيث وقف القوم وقل بما قالوا وكف عما كفوا عنه واسلك سبيل سلفك الصالح فإنه يسعك ما وسعهم. Imam al-Awza'i rahimahullah, he said, be patient, or make yourself patient with the Sunnah, and stop where the people stop. Referring to the Sahab and the Tabi'een. Stop where they stop, and say what they said, and refrain from what they refrained from, and follow the path of your Salaf al-Salih, because what was sufficient for them, indeed it is sufficient for you. And this is our way, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Whatever the topic may be, and whatever issue we are addressing, that we are addressing it in light of the Kitab and the Sunnah and the way of our Salaf al-Salih, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een. So whoever likes it, alhamdulillah, and whoever doesn't like it, alhamdulillah, wallahu al-musta'an. Allah Ta'ala, He says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. In Surah An-Nisa, verse number 34, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, the men are the protectors and the maintainers of the women. And Imam Al-Tabari, rahimahullah, the Imam of the Mufassirin, or the scholars of Tafsir, who died 310, he says, the men are from the supporters of the women in the issues of education and discipline and chastisement. And they get from the women that which is an obligation on them to their lord, and or to their husbands. Meaning the men are the ones to make the women obey Allah and obey their husbands, or something similar to that. Imam al-Baghi rahimahullah, he explains this ayah, and he died 516 Hijra. He says that the men are the authorities and the controllers over the education and discipline and chastisement of the women. Until he says, they are in charge of the women for the affairs that are most beneficial to them and for their direction and for their education and discipline and chastisement. This is the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the men over the women. And we hope inshallah ta'ala that this lecture is in light of that, so that the women don't feel, why are the men always talking about us? Why do the men always have something to say negative towards us? Why do the men? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this position to us. So listen carefully and obey us in obedience to Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam in the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, he said, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَبَرَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, he says, I didn't leave anything after me as a fitna more harmful to the men than the women. And this is why we call the women a fitna. Because the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he called the women a fitna, and we'll call them exactly what the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called them. And if any lady has a problem, then take their problem up with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Rather take your problem up with the one who sent him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, your Lord Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءَ فَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ فِتْنَةِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ كَانَتْ فِي النِّسَاءِ. And this hadith of Imam Muslim, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I command you to beware of the women. Because indeed the first fitna of Bani Israel was with the women. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, in his Fath al-Bari, as he explains the likes of this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's collected by al-Bukhari, and he mentions the one also by Imam Muslim, he says that some of the wise men, they used to say, all of the women are evil and bad. And the worst thing in the women, or about the women, is that as men, we can't do without them. Even though they are deficient in their intellect and their deen. And that is that the women, they force the men to assume or to be described with the characteristics that the women themselves have of deficiency in their intellect and their deen. And this is as they busy the men from seeking the knowledge of this deen, and they force the men to be enthusiastic and have a lot of zeal for striving hard for the worldly affairs, and this is some serious corruption. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us from the fitna of the women. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us as men to be amongst those who direct the women in the right direction. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the men who call the women to obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith collected by Imam Ahmad and others, he says, لَا يَجُوزُ لِلْمَرْأَةِ أَمْرٌ فِي مَالِهَا إِذَا مَلَكَ زَوْجُهَا عِصْمَتَهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith collected by Abu Dawood and Imam Ahmad, and Imam al-Nasa'i, and Abu Dawood al-Qayalasi, and he died 204 Hijra, and he's different from Abu Dawood al-Sijistani, and it's also collected by Imam al-Bayhaqi, and Imam al-Hakim, and al-Hakim said that it's sahih, and Imam al-Zahabi agreed with him in saying that it's sahih, and Abdul Qadir al-Arnaud said it's sahih, and Shu'aib al-Arnaud said it's sahih, and our Shaykh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani said that this hadith is sahih. So that all of the women know where the hadith is, and they know that the ulama have said that it's authentic, and now know that it's translated as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it is not permissible for a lady to have the control over how she spends her money so long as she is married to her husband and under his authority. Our Shaykh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, he says that this hadith and the hadith that we have made mention of earlier that mean the same thing as this hadith, it proves or is evidence that the lady, it is not permissible for her to spend her wealth or exercise her liberty to her wealth, that's her wealth, the way she likes, except with the permission of her husband. And this is from the completion of the qawama, or being the providers and the supporters and the maintainers of the women. That which our Lord Tabarak wa Ta'ala has placed us in the position over them. Rather, it is not proper for the husband, if he is a truthful Muslim, to take advantage of this verdict, so that he's oppressive to his wife, and he prevents her from spending her wealth or exercising her liberty and her wealth in a way that is not harmful to her or to him, or something like that. And similar to this verdict is that the wali of a young lady that lady who has a wali, she also doesn't have the right to marry herself without the permission of her wali. And if the wali is oppressive to her, then she brings her issue to the Islamic judge, and then he will be just or do justice for her case. And likewise, the verdict pertaining to the wealth of the lady, if her husband is oppressive and he prevents her from spending her money Islamically, then she raises the issue to the Muslim judge and he will do her justice also. So there is no problem with this verdict, but the problem is only in how people apply the verdict. So reflect on that point. And this is from the Sahih Silsila al-Haditha Sahiha by Al-Albani, volume 2, verse number 420. If we take a look at this verdict of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, then we see that the women are way out of place when they are using their money without our permission to buy the haram for the children in the community, buying the haram clothing for our girls and boys, and they're buying our children music and videos and allowing them to use money to go to the movies and the amusement parks to disobey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, there some of them are using the money to buy our children and themselves haram food. And you name it, the women are using their wealth and disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And now we're wondering why we can't save our children, because the women are taking advantage of this money and using it to lead our children astray. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save them and give us the strength to hold our women back from the haram. Also, some of the women, as some of the brothers told me, they have 20 plus jilbabs and 20 plus shoes, and Allah knows best how much of everything they have. And they're saying, well, my husband, he handles all of the bills, so I can do whatever I like with my money. And then we're sitting around wondering why we have a deficit at Madrasatu Ahlus Sunnah, because the women are wasting all of their money. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say in His Quran, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبَذِيرًا إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. This is from Surah Al-Isra, verses number 26 and 27, where Allah says, and don't waste your wealth like a spendthrift. Indeed, the spendthrifts, they are the brothers of the devils, the shayateen, and indeed the shaytan is ungrateful to his Lord. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the women with extra wealth, then use that wealth and spend it in a manner that is pleasing to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because right now many of the women are causing a big fitna in this community, and Allah knows best, if we allow this to continue, it might destroy the community, with the women taking advantage of all of this extra wealth and using it in a manner that is displeasing to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
You don't think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't snatch His blessings and favors away from you? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with wealth and then you use it in opposition to His book and the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sisters, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your wealth. And don't take the liberty to spend it as you like, but spend it only as your husbands give you the permission to spend it. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu قال لقد نفعني الله بكلمة سمعتها من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيام الجمل بعدما كدت أن ألحق بأصحاب الجمل فأقاتل معهم. قال لما بلغ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أهل فارس قد ملكوا عليهم بنت كسرى قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لن يفلح قوم ولوا أمرهم امرأة. This is collected by Imam al-Bukhari. Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, he said that Allah had blessed me and benefited me by a word that I heard from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم during the days of Al-Jamal. Really, he's saying that he remembers a word during the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that benefited him during the time of the battle of Al-Jamal, which is after the death of Uthman, and the people were going out to fight to get revenge for those people who killed Uthman. He says, I was about to join the people who were with the Jamal, referring to Aisha radiallahu anha and those who were with her. And he said, I was going to fight with them. But then I remembered the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the news came to him that the people of Persia, they chose the daughter of Kisra to be their leader and emir or king. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a people will never be successful if they make a lady in charge of them. And this is collected by al-Bukhari. And Imam al-Khattabi rahimahullah, he says that this hadith shows that a lady must not be the emir or have a leadership position or be in the position of a judge. And some women, unfortunately, they think that they are in charge of the masjid. And they think this, I think, indirectly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, because they think that their suggestions that they drop in the sadaqah box or elsewhere are verdicts. And they think that their decisions are law. Rather, the women have no place in leadership and no place to make a judgment. Rather, I heard a lady one day when I was in the masjid, and she was telling the imam about one of the brothers who was teaching the kitab and the sunnah in the masjid. Imam, I don't think that the one who's teaching the kitab and the sunnah is down with our leader. And therefore, I don't think he should teach in this masjid because things are changing in the masjid. She meant that the women didn't wear jilbabs and they didn't wear the khimars properly, and now they wore their jilbabs and the khimars properly. And she meant that the five salat was not established and now it was established. As the lady is saying, these people in the masjid all day, every day, they ain't even with us. Saying this pertaining to the Muslims, وَلَا حَوْلَا وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. At any rate, the imam was silent and said, I don't know of any problem with this brother except that he teaches the kitab and the sunnah. And before the sister could say something, another brother, he said, I don't follow that leader because from my following him from 1975 to 1985, I swear by Allah and Allah is my witness that every single thing I've learned from him was wrong and in opposition to the kitab and the sunnah. And I've left him 10 years ago in 1985. And the brother, he said, I put my money in this masjid, and I also teach in this masjid, and I have a position on the board in this masjid, and me too, I don't have a problem with that brother teaching in this masjid. The sister said, you used to give your money to the masjid. And you used to be on the board. And you used to teach in this masjid. And as of right now, all of that is no longer like it used to be. And the brother said, Takbir, Allahu Akbar. And then the sister said, Brother Imam, let me tell you something. This masjid was founded on the leadership of the big Imam. And either you going to be down with him, or you not going to be the Imam anymore. You got that? Imam, Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, how can a lady stand up and make this type of statement? And I fear that some women in this masjid, they might feel that they're going to be able to make a stance just like this lady made a stance. But we want to make the stance that lady made, as the men are the only people who have the right to make a stance similar to her. This masjid is founded on the Kitab and the Sunnah and on the manhaj of our Salaf al-Salih. And this masjid isn't found on the worship of anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not founded on anything but following and adhering to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this masjid is founded on understanding and practicing the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the understanding of our Salaf al-Salih. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless and preserve this masjid to always be upon what it was founded upon. So I hope inshallah ta'ala that those women in this community who feel that their word is law, or that their suggestions are revelations, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and change your ways. And we're not saying that we don't benefit from the advice and the expertise of the women. We do. But the women are not in charge. And the women will never be in charge except over a people who will never be successful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى وأقمنا الصلاة وآتينا الزكاة وأطعنا الله ورسوله. الآية from سورة الأحزاب, verse number 33, where Allah Ta'ala says, I command you women to stay in your houses and not to beautify yourselves the way you beautified yourselves in the days of Jahiliyyah. And I command you women to establish the salah and pay the zakat and to obey Allah and His Messenger. This ayah was revealed in particular to the wives of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam. And the ulama, they say this is for the women of the, this is for the Muslim women in general after the wives of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, as the women are supposed to be on what the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was upon. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, he says in the authentic hadith of Imam Muslim, لا ينظر الرجل إلى عورة الرجل ولا المرأة إلى عورة المرأة ولا تفضي الرجل إلى الرجل في ثوب واحد ولا تفضي المرأة إلى المرأة في الثوب الواحد. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, a man must not look at the aura of another man, and a lady must not look at the aura of another lady. And a man must not touch another man if he has one piece of clothing on, and a lady must not touch a lady who has one piece of clothing on. And this is authentically collected by Imam Muslim. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَيُّمَ امْرَأَةٍ وَضَعَتْ ثِيَابَهَا فِي غَيْرِ بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا فَقَدْ هَتَكَتْ سِتْرَ مَا بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. And this has been authentically collected by Ibn Majah and Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Imam Ahmed. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, any lady that takes off her clothing in the house of other than her husband, then she has taken away the veil between her and Allah azza wa jal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, innal mar'ata 'awra fa idha kharajat istashrafaha ash-shaytan وَأَقْرَبُ مَا تَكُونُ مِنْ وَجْهِ رَبِّهَا وَهِيَ فِي قَعْرِ بَيْتِهَا. And this is authentically collected by Imam At-Tirmidhi, and the extra part is from
of the Sahih of Ibn Khuzaymah and al-Tabrani, and it's authentic, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, indeed the lady is awra. And when she goes outside, the shaitan makes her feel beautiful. And a lady is closest to the face of her Lord when she is all the way inside of her house. Our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Adawi, hafizahullah, he says, as far as the verdict pertaining to this issue, of which we are mentioning some of those hadith, then I want you to know that it is disliked or hateful that the women leave their houses except for a need. And he goes on to say, rather, the only time that a lady should leave her house is when she's safe from fitna, and when there is no chance for corruption, because of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادِ, from Surah Al-Baqarah verse 205, where Allah says, and Allah does not love corruption. And for the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا, from Surah Al-A'raf verse 85, where Allah Ta'ala says, and don't spread corruption in the earth after everything has been corrected. And it is necessary that the lady, when she leaves out of her house, that she's in accordance with that which has been prescribed by Islam. Meaning that she holds on to her chastity, and that she covers herself properly in a manner that would keep her away from beautifying herself or exposing her face. And this is a position, inshallah ta'ala, we might present it in detail one day from our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Adawi, that this is a position of some of the ulama, that it is an obligation and it is compulsory on the women to cover their faces when they leave their houses. And that if they go outside with their faces uncovered, then they're in disobedience to Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama, they have their evidences for this position that they have presented. And the Shaykh, he goes on to explain some of the other verdicts that we have explained, and now is not the time to go into the detail of it, but the women must observe what they must observe when they leave out of their houses. And if this is the case, then how in the world is some of the women from amongst ourselves, after we had already prohibited and prevented and warned them against having an outdoor overnight camping trip for the women, how could women secretly be calling the houses of other women to get our innocent girls outside to be spending the night? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best where. Maybe the women are traveling to a distance with no mahram and disobedience to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah knows best how they might be dressed when you get a whole group of women out there by themselves, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How are the women going to go outside, and what need is it for our little girls to go out and be disobedient to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and to have fun and to hang out and to waste time? We don't find any of this to be encouraged in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, these texts that we were quoting shows that we should be staying far away from this. Wallahi, don't let us find out that people are in this community, women thinking they're going to take things in their own hands and do whatever they want to by calling the women out. Don't do that, wallahi. So I hope if there's any sisters making some secret calls, that they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His forgiveness, and that they call everybody back and they apologize, and they tell them that this stupidity and this foolishness and this disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this spreading of corruption in the land is over with once and for all, inshaAllah tabarak wa ta'ala. Don't let those women trick your wives and into allowing your daughters to go on these overnight camping trips Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what's taking place. And I know the women are going to say, we're teaching Islam. Wallahi, you don't know no Islam. Nah. The women who are involved in things like this, they don't know no Islam. And if they knew Islam, they would be involved in teaching the women obedience to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. They would teach the daughters and the girls the importance of staying in the house. And what the women could do in the house. And stop making these flimsy excuses what to do. What to do? Learn the tashahud in your salat, subhanallah. Learn the tashahud in your salat. How many women don't know how to make salat? They don't know how to say the tashahud. Talking about they going on a camping trip. Wallahi, learn how to make salat. Probably learn how to make wudu. Wallahi, women don't know how to make the ghusl properly. Wallahi, the women need to learn the verdicts of their deen. And we see from the questions of the women here and elsewhere, when it comes time for the women to ask questions, their questions are evidence of their ignorance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what kind of Islam are you talking about is on a camping trip? The first part that's against Islam is that you don't set up the trip in opposition to the verdicts of the men. Disobedience to the men. Sisters, young ladies, we're calling you to Islam. First thing is, when the men tell us what to do, don't do it. Yeah, what kind of Islam is that? The sisters need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and change their ways and know that these women being in charge or these slaves from amongst the women to the masters who are their children, it has only led to boyfriends and girlfriends amongst our children. And you know what boyfriends and girlfriends lead to? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allah ta'ala, He says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ مِنْكُمْ طَوْلًا أَنْ يَنْكِحَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ فَمِمَّنْ مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِنْ فَتَيَاتِكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِإِيمَانِكُمْ بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ فانكحوهن بإذن أهلهن وآتوهن أجورهن بالمعروف محصنات غير مسافحات ولا متخذات أخدان. And this is from Surah An-Nisa, verse number 25, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever amongst you doesn't have the ability to marry chaste believing women, then marry from the believing women of the war captives. And Allah knows best to your faith. And you are one from another. So I command you to marry the women by the permission of their walis and to give them their dowries on a reasonable term, desiring chastity and not zina or illegal sexual intercourse and not taking them as secret boyfriends or girlfriends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it shows us, in case the women do not know, it's not for our children, the girls, to be in zina. It's not for the girls to be in zina and having these secret boyfriends. And if it ain't a secret, why they don't come to the masjid hugging, holding hands? Why are they ducking around the corner and doing all this stuff where we can't see? Don't lead our children into thinking that this girlfriend and boyfriend thing is okay. And don't say you can't do anything about it. You can, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the position and the authority to be in charge of your household, and you're responsible, and you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be questioned about that. Allah ta'ala, He says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. From Surah Al-Isra, verse number 32. And don't go near zina. Indeed, it is an evil sin and an evil way. Don't let our children, don't let the girls go hang out at the mall. Wallah, I remember they had an overnight camping or whatever. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Then the next morning, they take the girls to the mall. Subhanallah, Allah. What are we calling them to? To look at the haram? To listen to the haram? And to eventually fall all the way into the haram, as has been the case
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save the rest of our women from it. Wallahi, girls in this community done got pregnant by the kuffar. Girls who done went to our school, done went out and got pregnant by the kuffar. And now everybody talking about married them. Listen what your Lord says. Tabarak wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur, verse number 3. الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك وحرم ذلك على المؤمنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says the fornicator doesn't marry except the fornicating lady or a mushrika lady. And the fornicating lady doesn't marry except the fornicating man or a mushrik man. And that has been made haram on the believers. This is one of the understandings of this ayah, and there's another understanding, but we want to hold to this understanding, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. After you done polluted those girls by going out of your jurisdiction, by disobeying your husband, thus disobeying Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam, and by misguiding those girls with your ignorance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen and your deficiency in your intellect and your own deen yourself, you have led these women, these innocent girls, into a zina. And now they have become pregnant and have delivered babies from the kuffar men. And now you think that a Muslim man is going to marry? Rather, some of the brothers even think, get the girls married. Marry them to who? It's haram. You're not going to take one of the good brothers from this community and give them one of those polluted women? Who want one of these polluted Muslim girls who have been polluted by the kuffar because of ignorance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and going outside of the verdict of the going outside of the jurisdiction of the men? You think a good brother want one of them women? Subhanallah. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith collected by Imam Ahmad and others on the narration of Abdullah ibn Amr ابن العاص رضي الله عنهما قال أن رجلا من المسلمين استأذن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في امرأة يقال لها أم مهزول وكانت تسافح وتشترط له أن تنفق عليه قال فاستأذن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وذكر له أمرها فقرأ عليه نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك. Abdullah ibn Amr رضي الله عنهما, he said that a man from amongst the Muslims, he asked the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, can he marry a lady called أم مهزول? And this lady used to commit fornication, and she had a condition that if she married the man, that she's going to be the provider in the house and not him. So he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or he mentioned the case of this lady to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, a fornicating lady doesn't marry no one but a fornicating man or a mushrik man. Y'all brothers mushriks? Then how you gonna marry her? Y'all fornicators? Those are the only type of people that are befitting to marry those type of women. Or the other understanding of this ayah, a fornicating man only commits fornication or adultery with a fornicating or adulterous lady or a mushrika lady. Meaning that lady, when she was part of the verse, and the fornicating lady only commits the act of fornication or adultery with a fornicating man or mushrik man. When those Muslim girls committed the act of fornication, it was with one of two people, a mushrik or a fornicator, or both. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. They took a fornicating mushrik. If it would have been another Muslim boy, then it would have just been a fornicator. But then you have a kafir and a fornicator, a mushrik fornicator. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save our community from having any other women like this in our community. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being disgraced by this disgraceful acts that these girls have been performing. And some of the women, unfortunately, from the community, they think after the girl and had the baby, everything's alright. How in the world everything alright? She say, the baby didn't do nothing. We know the baby didn't do nothing. You and the girl guilty. And that child, who the Prophet ﷺ says, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ الْحَدِيثِ. And this authentic hadith for the Prophet ﷺ says, there is no child except that he's born on the fitrah, and the parents make a Christian out of him or a Jew out of him. What do you think this fornicating, shameless, disgraceless little Muslim girl is going to make out of that child that's born on the fitrah? You parent who was astray and led your daughter astray, and now you got two people astray instead of one. What you think you're going to raise the innocent boy on? Obedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? If there was some obedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, the boy wouldn't even been no bastard child like that. How in the world are we going to think everything is okay? And how you women, criminal, fitna-making women, going to make us men who trying to obey Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam be criminals when we say, get that bastard out my face? Wallahi, I don't even want to look at the girl or her child. We going to be considered wrong? What's our crime? Wallahi, quote from Allah's book, our crime. Quote from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our crime. Show us why, if we're trying to obey Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, we're going to be happy with disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can you be happy with the kitab and the sunnah and disobedience to the kitab and the sunnah? We can't be happy, sisters, I'm sorry. And those criminal girls, don't call it no mistake, it ain't no mistake. It's no mistake, man. You didn't jump in the bed and commit that act all in the, you wasn't walking down the street and the boy slid all up in the girl by mistake. You had to do a lot of plotting and planning. All these secret phone calls and these letters. Wallahi, with all this Islam around, alhamdulillah, how in the world are Muslim girls right here in our masjid pregnant by the kafir man? Wallahi, that's a mistake. Ain't no mistake. You say they young. They in puberty, they gonna be held accountable by Allah. Yeah, they young. Everybody's gonna be accountable by Allah once they're from the age of puberty to old men. You think you don't got ignorant old men? Wallahi, you got ignorant old men and ignorant old women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from ignorance. Everybody is accountable. You got foolish old men and you got foolish young girls. Every young girl not foolish. These girls know what they're doing. And these parents know what they're doing. And wallahi, y'all leading our community to disgrace and corruption, and we're warning you to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and change your ways. To turn back to the kitab and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sisters, fear Allah, you done caused enough fitna. Get in order. Get in order by getting up under the men who call you to the kitab and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way from our salaf as-salih. And as for all the other women and all of the other complaints and the other issues that I wish I could address, but now we don't have the time to address all of those issues, all of these other complaints that the women have, they're probably because the women are ungrateful. And that's another lecture, inshallah ta'ala, when we deal with that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show that the women are ungrateful. And don't go saying that Abu Muslima said the women are ungrateful, like I invented the word for my own desires that you are ungrateful. This is what we find in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're going to describe you the way Now the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam describes you whether you like it or you don't like it. Sisters, if you have real complaints, then bring your complaints to the Imam inshaAllah ta'ala so that your complaints can be addressed properly. But if these sisters have complaints and they start taking things into their own hands, they're only going to hurt their own selves, because we're not going to stand for the women to continue to make fitna and to destroy this community without doing something about it. Now, there are quite a few other issues, but I really didn't want to mention them because I think that some of the people might be offended. So I'm going to give those women and all those other issues a chance to hurry up and repent and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And don't let our ears, the ears of the men of this community, hear about you women taking things into your own control, thinking that because you have a complaint, you're going to handle it yourself. If you have a complaint and your complaint is valid, then address your complaint, inshallah ta'ala, and don't make it like the silly sister who says this. Imam Abu Muslima, let me tell you something. There is more than one masjid to go to pray. We don't always have to come to this one. And don't think we are. Y'all need to mind your business and let people do what they want to do. Otherwise, you might drive someone away from this masjid all the way. So watch what you say and do. Assalamu alaikum. Don't be foolish like this foolish sister. And don't show your ignorance of this deen and the kitab and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this sister. Don't think that you have some business that's going to be minded. Your business is what takes place in the privacy of your own home. When you let it out by way of the phone lines with the ghibah and namima and corruption you're spreading, then it becomes our business and we're going to deal with it. When you and the sisters lounge acting like fools, and it comes to our attention, then we're going to deal with it. When all these bastard children start running around and they smiling in our faces like everything is okay, then we're going to have to deal with it. It ain't your business. And if you want to go to another masjid, we were already telling you, not asking you a long time ago, please go to another masjid. Allah has been favoring us, alhamdulillah, and we fear Allah might snatch His favors and blessings from us with stupid women like this in our community. Oh Allah, rid our community of women like this. Sisters, fear Allah and repent and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the women who seek His forgiveness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the repentance of the women who repent to Him. And not all women are bad. And I hope that the innocent women in our community don't feel offended by what has been presented, because it had to be presented. And we are aware of the statement of Allah Ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah At-Taghabun, verse number 14, O you who believe, indeed from amongst your wives and your children are enemies to you, so be aware of them. From amongst them, meaning not all of the women and children are enemies to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of our women and our children righteous believers and our best friends to us. And we're aware of the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in Sahih Muslim, where he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعُ وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the dunya is all a commodity and the best commodity is a righteous lady. So we're aware that all of the women are criminal women, and we could have brought other texts to show that women have virtues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the women of this community virtuous. However, there is some fitna and some fitna making women, and we wanted to expose their plots in light of the kitab and the sunnah so that the other women might be aware of them and that they might help to guide and admonish and warn and advise those women from disobedience to Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what I wanted to present, and Allah knows best. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad
وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Looks like there were some either questions or comments from the time that the lecture started. Someone says, I think I'm a little confused. When you were speaking of covering the face, wearing the niqab, were you saying the scholars say it's obligatory to cover the face? Yes. I'm saying that some of the scholars say it's an obligation to cover the face. And I'm aware that I had given a lecture before of the topic, the veil, is it compulsory or not? And I took the position of some of the ulama that it's not an obligation, but it's a recommendation. But that was just the position that I took and I felt most comfortable with. And I might be wrong, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And we mentioned that other ulama, they hold in other positions. And I hope, inshallah ta'ala, if we get back on track with covering some of the women's issues, that we will cover the book of dress by our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Adawi, hafizahullah, as we have covered others of his books on marriage and divorce and the etiquettes of women and what have you. So in light of that position of some of the ulama, then these women, they have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their dress code and not to be so eager, especially when they don't cover their faces, to want to be outside. If you want to keep your face uncovered, stay in your house. And teach your young girls the same thing that Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and the ulama call you to, and call your children to it. I don't know if there were any other comments or questions. Now somebody has something that's not on the topic. I didn't want to drift away from the topic, inshallah. We hope at another time we might be able to handle some of the questions that are off of the topic. But we hope, inshallah ta'ala, that the message has gotten across, and that the women, inshallah ta'ala, that they know their place. And it has been the case that from time to time we had to drop one talk or another on the women, whether it was the talk of the WAP or the shameless women, or the disobedient women, or the women of Jannah, or the indecent women, or whatever other from those lectures that were geared to putting the women back on track. This is the obligation of the men, to put the women back on track and to call them to obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So women, don't be offended by our education to you, and don't be offended by our disciplining you, and don't be offended by us chastising you, because this is the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us. Do you want the men to be strong men, obedient to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, or do you women want wimps? If you want wimps, leave Masjid wa Ahl Sunnah, because the men are men, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Isn't that so, brothers? Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum. Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The men are responsible for maintaining their wives. So if the woman willingly goes to work with her husband's permission to help with the finance, is her wealth or her income her own? Yes. If, I'm going to add before I finish your question, if her husband gives her money, then that's her own money. Now, if her husband goes to work, and then he gives his wife money, now that's her money. No. The question continues, and is she accountable for the spending of it if most is going towards domestic needs and bills? Yes. That lady is accountable for that money. And she shouldn't spend that money except with the advice and the permission of her husband, even on paying the bills. None. She can't fast voluntarily except with the permission of her husband. This is less than that. Can he demand her money? I don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But I want to go back to the statement of our Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani. The verdict is clear because it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. The problem is when men are corrupt and not right.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us right and correct. If the men are not right, that doesn't have nothing to do with the verdict. Just like all you criminal Muslim women who are not right, doesn't mean Islam isn't good. Wallahi, sometimes, astaghfirullah, I hate to come up to the school, to the madrasa, and you see women walking all in front of you. They won't even let you go first. They're going to walk in front of you. She don't got no jilbab on. Pants and a shirt and a khimar. Why you got on a khimar? Ain't no ayah to say cover your hair. Ain't no hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam say cover your hair. You got to cover your whole body. Nah. Now this is the verdict of some of the ulama based on ayah and hadith. Cover your whole body. Hands, face, feet, hair, neck, ears, everything. Nah. Nothing is to be seen but your clothing. And this is the verdict of some of the ulama. From the verse, إِلَّا مَا ظَهْرَ مِنْهَا, except that which is normally appears, means the clothing. Nah. The clothing. You see a lady, you see a piece of clothing walking by. That means it's a righteous Muslim lady. Nah. Tell me what it is if it ain't a righteous Muslim lady. But these women, wallahi, some of the women, they coming up to the school, they don't have nothing on. Pants and shirt and no khimar. It's almost the same as the pants and shirt and the khimar. All of his disobedience to Allah and his Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Wallahi, sisters. Or if you know how to cover right, tell these sisters to cover right. InshaAllah, if Allah blesses us next year, we're going to put some policy in place. You don't have a jilbab and a khimar on, you ain't coming in this building. InshaAllah ta'ala. Just need the brothers from the security to help me enforce this, inshallah. But next year, that's what we hope, that's going to be our policy. Even the kufar. The kufar women, we're going to give them a deal, we're going to have a box of jilbabs in the door. And the khimars. Excuse me, put this on. You think they won't put it on? Ma'am, you'll put it on. I know you'll put it on. I done saw women got it on in Arabia. Kafir women, kafirs all day long. Jilbab and a khimar on. When they come outside, nah. You know they try to leave it open a little more than the Muslim women because they don't really want to do it. But they're going to do just what you have to do. This is our building. This ain't somebody else's building. Whose building is this? The Muslims. A Muslim mean you on what? Kitab and the Sunnah. What the Kitab and the Sunnah call us? The lewdness? SubhanAllah. Let's just finish after the Adhan, inshallah. The kafir women, if they have to wear the jilbab and the khimar, we're going to give them a particular color so you know that they mushrik women. Naam, inshallah ta'ala. Allah make us successful. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Imam, alhamdulillah for the talk. Then I guess that's the nasiha you gave, I am sure, was meant to be a beneficial one. Please, though, in order to truly reach our hearts and our minds, give the nasiha with kindness and gentleness, as our Lord told Musa and Harun to give to Pharaoh. Name-calling and harsh words toughen the hearts and make people close their ears. Verily, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you were rude or harsh of heart, you would surely have turned them away, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan for listening. May Allah guide, help, and forgive us all. Ameen. I'm amazed at the people's memorization. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase them in it. That when people wrong, they remember all of the stuff on their benefit. Wallahi, when we were calling with all of the beautiful, fine words, sisters dressed with the jilbab on and the khimar, oh women, please keep your daughters away from zina and fornication. What do we get? Bastard children. Now you're talking about don't raise your voice? Wallahi, start quoting some of the other hadith in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to give the khutbah, his eyes were red and his voice was loud. We never quote to you the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam used to raise his voice sometimes so loud that the virgin girls in their houses would hear the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam screaming in the masjid. Think the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam didn't get mad? He got mad when people violated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we're going to get mad at that. When we get another chance to call you in general, we're going to call you with hikmah and wisdom and beautiful exhortations. Right now it's time to get you straight. All that stuff was before you even got out of place. All we've been doing, see, people be forgetting. Before Friday night, we've been in the masjid all week, calling with nice words, repent, fear Allah, obey His Messenger. Where y'all been? Wallahi, where have the women been when all education has been going on? Now you guilty talking about be soft. We can't hear it. Wallahi, you ain't heard nothing. If the sisters would have heard before tonight, it wouldn't been no tonight. If the sisters would have heard before, it would have been tonight. No, this is to get you straight. Because the women done went too far. And if they didn't go too far, we wouldn't have come with this talk. But this talk was to get the women back on track because they went too far. If you close your ears because my voice is loud, your ears were already closed. What was your ears doing when you was listening to that music? When you listen to the music, sister, you and your daughters, what was your ears then? What was your eyes when y'all sitting there watching the haram on those movies and stuff? What was your body parts doing hanging out at these amusement parks with the kuffar? What are you talking about? Raising a voice and this and that. We chasing people away. We trying to call you back. You're already away. You talking about chase you away? Chase you away from what? You already away from the kitab and the sunnah. What we going to chase you away from? We trying to chase you away from kufr. Pour some hot coffee on you to wake you up. Allah make it easy for us. Bismillah. Can you tell the shameless men? No. Today we got to deal with the women. Can you tell the shameless men to tell their wives to stop being so beautiful with their colorful khimars and jilbabs? The brothers who got that in their household, I guess they heard it. The women's stuff is too colorful. Is that the case, brothers? That's the case, then, you know, we have to just follow the way of our Salafus Salih. Tell the women to put the black on, the dark blue on, the brown on, like that. Make your women on the sunnah. Is somebody happy with his women looking beautiful after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevented the women, prohibited them from going outside, beautifying themselves like the days of Jahiliyyah? Some women, they think because they got a khimar on and a niqab on and a jilbab on that they can't beautify themselves. Wallahi, shaitan played with them, made them think that. You can have a jilbab on, a niqab on, and a khimar on, and beautify yourselves. And if you don't think that's the case, wallah, you remember some of the sisters told me the lady standing up in the khutbah with a red dress on. Bright red and stuff like that. What in the world a lady, Muslim lady, wearing bright red, anything on, coming outside? SubhanAllah al-Azim. Wallahi, if that message is to some of the men, and really we hope that the message is to the women, throw all that stuff away. All them psychedelic khimars, throw that stuff away. Nah, wallahi, this is Islam. You don't find in the sunnah psychedelic khimars. You find white for the men, and then you find the wives and the righteous women wearing the black. All that other stuff, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent to Allah. We have mentioned it before. And I sent a couple of memos around in our school. I heard that some of the teachers were wearing some of that colorful stuff. We're not trying to play that. You want to wear some colorful stuff, go someplace else. Now we done said it politely already before. How many times we done said politely, dress right? What do they want? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. With all this going on, the women spending their money on useless stuff and being disobedient and etc., you men must be weak to all this to must be weak for all of this to go on. One of the reasons Allah won't answer the dua of a man is if he stays with the disobedient women. Also, he should forbid and prevent her from using his money on things of no benefit. He's to save. He's to save her from the hellfire. He can forbid her, right? Right. We had did that before on one of those talks. The shameless women and their weak men. But I hope that the sisters not blasting you brothers out. This was supposed to be for them. But if you guilty along with the women who are causing the fitna, wallahi, you with them. The fitna of the women and the men that's with them. Naam. I was just hoping there wasn't no men with them. Brothers, wallahi, he told me you're not with the women. Causing fitna in the community. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Islam is a total way of life. It is not something to turn on and off. As parents, we have got to live our Islam constantly. When we do this, our children learn to be Muslims. This means purifying our intentions in all that we do. This means showing our children a deep love and respect for Allah. And showing them the ugliness, the dirtiness, and the inherent badness of kufr. This means no television, no rap, no halter tops, subhanAllah, and bell bottoms under jilbabs. This means no malls, no kafir friends. MashaAllah, it is not hard to love and live Islam, and it is not hard to instill this love in our children's hearts. The halal is what is beautiful. We have to focus on that. MashaAllah, it will change your whole life if you trust Allah and fear Him and love your deen. Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah daily for this masjid and urge everyone else to do the same. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I may be confused, but I don't understand the ignorance of this sister's letter. Please explain the ignorance. I'm confused too. I'm confused. Is the sister asking this question out of sincerity, or you on the side of the criminal sister? How is she going to say, mind your business and let us do whatever we want to do? That's what you call knowledge. I sat and read the letter to you. Let me repeat it to you again, sister. y'all need to mind your business and let people do what they want to do. Where were y'all on the Eid? Eid al-Fitr. And we were doing the tafsir of the ayah, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum la yadurrukum man dhalla idha ihtadaytum. O you who believe, those who have gone astray can't harm you so long as you have been guided. That means to enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. The sister says, don't enjoin what is right and don't forbid what is wrong, with all them ayah and all them hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about joining right and forbidding what is wrong. If that ain't ignorance, sister, you are confused. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. You said that you are going to describe the women the way that the Prophet described them. Why don't you describe them as glass or precious materials like the Prophet did in Sahih al-Bukhari, book number 8? We describe some of those women at the end. But there's some other women too. And there's some other hadith and other ayah we've been quoting all night. We're going to take another time. We have a ladies' night out. After we get y'all straight tonight, then we'll quote them other hadiths and be nice to you. But right now, you got to get on track. Y'all sisters got to stop trying to play with me. I'm dead serious. We're not trying to have all of that fitna and corruption in this community. Now we'll come and talk to your husbands and sit you down directly and let you know we're not trying to have that stuff. The girls got bastard children. Which one is precious? Glass. The baby, the girl, or the mother? Because I don't understand what's going on. It seems like you harp on the negative descriptions and not enough on the positive. If everyone was to harp on your negative, they would have disliked you since the very first time you did what? Nah, sister, you're correct. Ever since I did WAP, there's a whole bunch of women who dislike me. And ever since I did the disobedient women, there's a whole bunch of them that dislike me. And the shameless women, and there's a whole bunch of them that dislike me. And the indecent women, and there's a whole bunch of them that dislike me. And probably the fitna women, you might be one of them, might be disliking me. It's all okay, because if someone dislikes us for holding on to the kitab and the sunnah, it's okay. It's okay. What you think, our parents who didn't accept Islam, they like us? You think my mother liked me? You're talking about women who don't like me. You think my mother liked me? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعْ مِلَّتَهُمْ. And the Jews and the Christians will never be satisfied with you until you follow their way, their religion. Wallahi, people not going to be happy with you until you on their way. If we was on your desire, sister, you might like us more. If we say, sisters, do whatever you like in the community, it's all okay with us. Sisters say, mashallah, we got the best imam in the world. Nah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me from following my own desires and letting the women, as you remember the statement of the wise men, the women carry the men to assuming the description and the characteristic of themselves by the men being deficient in their intellect and in their deen. The women that get you like that. Nah. The women are deficient in their deen and their intellect. And then they push on you in a way so you become like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save me from becoming like a woman. We should have more mercy on each other and make the path to Jannah easy for each other. Wallahi, some people, they don't know when a mercy hits them right in the face. Inshallah. Just let me finish this. if quotation of the Kitab and the Sunnah, the statements of our Salaf al-Salih, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong is not a mercy, come on and let's travel to some other masjids and show us some mercy. All you can show us is opposition to the Kitab and the Sunnah. Disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sister, there's a lot of mercy going on here, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. If you say you want to learn Islam, everything is going to be okay. Everybody, we hope inshallah ta'ala the other sisters will be very helpful in helping you to learn Islam, to learn how to make the wudu, to learn how to make the ghusl, to learn the aqidah of our Salaf al-Salih based on the Kitab and the Sunnah. If you want to learn Islam, you'll find the people inshallah ta'ala are very merciful to you. But if you want to cause fitna and corruption in the community, I hope that you don't find nobody merciful to you. Yes, sir.
I have a question. The question is, you mentioned sisters spending nights going camping overnight. What about sisters, the young sisters getting together going to a great adventure? That's the question. The problem is, there's a brother here who did research on our young brothers and young sisters. He did an excellent piece on that. And one of the things that he said in that is that while the Muslim brother is going to work, the Muslim mother is allowing these young either kufar call the house and also visit the house. Okay, and I think this brother did an excellent piece on that. Is it okay? And that's Brother Sobhi Shabab. I think we need to let him tell us what's going on. He said, while we're working, the mushrik is coming to our home. This is how some of these girls come and pray. With the permission of some of these mothers. He did a research on it.
Is written? How did you get the research?
I heard it from him.
Oh, directly?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I think we need to...
You got it written down?
Because he did the research. That's a question about the great adventure.
We did a talk some time ago on the recreations. I don't even remember what the topic was. I don't remember what the talk was called. But we did a talk on what recreation is permissible and what's not. And that was some time back. And that tape is still available for those people, inshallah ta'ala. But this going to the great adventures, it's not okay. None. If great adventures close down and only let us in, and we try to observe some Islam when we go, we don't even know then if it's going to be okay. So how is it going to be okay? None. We don't even know if it's going to be okay then. How is it going to be okay now when the boys and girls kissing one another there? We know what was going on there before. Kafirs drinking beer, getting high, so on and so forth. And then the Muslims hanging out, the girls naked, so on and so forth. And the Muslims say, we had a nice time. How you have a nice time in disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? And then we were mentioning before that this was the whole talk is about, that the women letting all types of stuff happen in the house. You know, the women are letting the girls have girlfriends. Letting their daughters have boyfriends. And what have you. That's what we're saying. And the women are letting all this stuff in the house. And that's what we're telling them tonight, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stop letting that stuff take place like that. I don't know, do the brothers have any comments, or is just going to let us handle the sister stuff? Yes.
In relation to what you just said about the ruling about going to the amusement park, what advice would you give to the youth who's invited by a woman or invited by a person in authority saying this is halal or this is a beneficial thing for the Muslims? How should a youth who's invited to the munkar respond to that?
Is this somebody in this masjid?
Yes.
If somebody is in this masjid, a lady, calling us to go to Great Adventures or one of these amusement parks, that lady, we got to know who she is, and we got to go to her directly and tell her that's it. Everybody else, whoever gets invited by this lady, as to tell a lady, you off the hook, sister. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and change your ways. Stop calling us to disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And if we know that lady, then we're going to have to send her a personal note and tell her, sister, pack your bags up, take that stuff someplace else. We don't want that here in our community. We don't want our children going astray. If people want their children going astray, there's a whole bunch of other messages you can go to. We're saying just go to the other messages. Why you have to do it if you know here nobody don't want that? Why don't you just go someplace else? That's what everybody say in America. Anytime you don't like, that's how come it's a lot of messages really in America. Now, it's not a lot of messages because Islam is spreading. It's a lot of messages because there's a lot of ignorance and people following their own desires. And every time somebody wants to establish his own program, he sets up his own message and put his own program into effect. So really, it's easy for this sister and whoever is with her to go to one of those other messages where all that stuff is supported and condoned, like music. There's a whole lot of messages they think music is cool. I go to that message with your box and stuff like that and just put your headphones on in the corner of the masjid, in the corner of the masjid, and listen to music or something, but just don't come here with that. Is it permissible for the women to run? And is this a form of stomping? I don't know. Allah knows best. And the Quran, it says, narrating not to stomp your feet to show your adornments. I think that sister, she's referring to something else, meaning that the women make themselves known to the men. You know, like if we were in the building and the sister was walking by, she'll like, you know how the women do with their high heels, click, 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 click. Then when you hurry up and turn your head, then she hurry up and switch. Alright, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning the women against, trying to call the men to look at them. Allah knows best. I'm constantly telling my sisters to stop running and they will do it anyway. Oh well, their stuff moves everywhere. Please advise them and help them. Please. Aisha didn't raise the Prophet ﷺ, I think what the sister is saying, in front of men. That's just her and her husband on the side somewhere, nobody's looking. But women can't be running around in front of men, jumping double dutch and all that stuff, and the men are right there in their presence. Just not proper. Whatever the women going to do, they're just not going to do it in front of the men. No. Whatever the women do, they're not going to do it in front of the men. No. I want to be obedient to my husband, and I do my best too. I also don't want to be disobedient with my tongue. It's hard when I'm constantly being insulted by him and belittled. He's more kind to other women than me. Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. If that man is like that, he should repent. All the way across the board. He spends the little free time he has with the brothers more. I used to hold my tongue and take the remarks, then I lashed. After realizing the harm I created on my own soul, I now hold back. I want counseling, but he won't go. I'm scared to come to you because of his reactions with his tongue. Let me ask the brothers. Is there somebody from amongst us so tough that he can violate and disrespect a sister, and the sister should be so scared that if she came to us, that there's nothing we could do? Is there somebody that tough amongst us? Are we that weak? Sister, really, that brother, you know what? He can talk all that tough talk to you, when we not listening? Just ask him one time, you know, where you drop the sisters off in the back, just ask him to do some of that tough talking right outside. These are the signs of cowardly men that frighten their women from getting help. If the brother is wrong, then that sister needs some help, and she shouldn't have to worry about that brother doing something. Because we're not going to let one of these brothers hurt the women, inshallah ta'ala. If you came to me, and so we came sit down with your husband's not going to put his hands on you, inshallah ta'ala, and if he does, I think it'll be the last time. And we have an emergency number at our masjid here for the women. And it's posted. The brothers know. If it's not posted, it'll be posted, inshallah ta'ala, if it's not already. And the sisters, they just need to know that emergency number that's 24/7. And anytime your husband feels he's that tough, we'll just see who's the toughest. But I hope that no man amongst us feels that he's so tough that he can put this type of fear into our women. Because nobody's that tough. And he's probably here listening, and he won't even say nothing. Because that's how tough he is. I now maintain my behavior and tongue and make dua for him. He doesn't want to speak to anyone. Would I be wrong myself if I called to speak to you myself? No. I'm also scared to expose him because he has a good characteristic with the brothers, and I want to protect him. Please advise me. We can advise him, inshallah ta'ala, with similar advice that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam gave. When the man was asking the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, my wife won't turn down, my wife doesn't turn down the hand of the one who wants to touch it. Should I divorce her or stay married to her? Or should I divorce her? The Prophet ﷺ told him, divorce her. He said, but I love her. The Prophet ﷺ said, stay with her.